And so I appreciate my father and his persistence, his example of absolute dedication and diligence. I appreciate my mother for her love of the arts and love and her passion for life and passion for refusing to accept anything less than the best that you're able to give. And it's because of those two things that I do believe that there is a way out, a responsible and reasonable way out at the same time, given the liabilities that I have, like I said. But there is a way out, and it's a lot faster than we're necessarily willing to accept.
That's phenomenal. Thank you. So the last section that you go into here, now the actual point of this post, you really hit on it here. I think one reason I wanted to interview you about this is because, number one, I don't like doing phone interviews. I remember years ago, I was part of a podcast network that I helped to create. We were able to get a lot of people listening to our content and downloading them. The largest number that we had, we went from 2.1 million downloads. The next year, we did 4.3 million downloads in the 12-month calendar year. So my point is, we used to do a lot of phone interviews, and I don't like that. There's not the energy that you get when you're in person talking and that feedback of all the other stuff that happens. One reason I wanted to get with you about this is because there's something you and I share with other people that I have an affinity with, you know, with Clifford. He's one of these people as well. We see our time on earth as stewards, that we have an obligation, but most importantly, we have an opportunity to leave this place a better place than what we found it, or perhaps to clean up the space a little bit and leave it presentable and in a better condition than what we found it, right? Than what we inherited. Now, I love how you go into this. You talk about your commission to people is go live, be passionate, be motivated, be hungry, be driven, be relentless in the pursuit of your potential. You say go start new businesses, go back to school. So you say all these things, but there's this awakening that happens to us. You know, they say transitionally in society, in modern developed countries, that we men will go through a midlife crisis between their 40s and 60s. They'll both go out and buy a Cadillac or like a convertible or a Corvette or something. My father-in-law just bought a Goldwing, a Honda Goldwing, for like $3,000.
Yeah, those big old motorcycles.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, you know. But I look at him, you know, he's a barber. His whole dream for his daughter was to go finish college, get a good job, you know, so that one day she can have her retirement. Because it's the whole delayed gratification. Oh, we talked about that on the phone. This whole delayed gratification, you mentioned.
It's a lie. It's a lie. And let me tell you why, David, is because delayed gratification as a concept is absolutely a truth. And it's something that we should all be practicing in every aspect of our life. You know, there's a study that a lot of people mention, and I find it, I have to laugh to myself when I hear people in corporate America, in management meetings, using this example. But there was a study done where they put a marshmallow in front of a child. And they told the child, if you cannot touch that marshmallow for X number of minutes, then I'll give you two marshmallows. And then they would leave the room and see what the children do. They say, okay, well, some children took the marshmallow. Some had the discipline to wait for the second in order to get the two marshmallows. They followed these kids, and later on in life, the ones who were able to wait to get two marshmallows ended up becoming more successful in whatever they pursued than the children who took the first marshmallow. And I've heard that so many times in corporate America. And that study is absolutely true. The concept of delayed gratification is absolutely true, but the idea of implementing that in corporate America is a lie. You can't exercise delayed gratification in corporate America. Well, why? Well, everyone says, oh, well, you know, it's delayed gratification. I'm stashing away 4% of my weekly paycheck into a 401k that's going to hopefully build over time, especially hopefully as long as the economy doesn't crash, because I'm investing in other people's businesses and not my own. And then at some point when I'm 65, 70 years old, I'll have amassed enough wealth in those investments to produce some kind of passive income so that I can retire and live a lifestyle that will not be at the level that I was living when I retired, but it'll be some percentage of that level so that I can actually maintain a lifestyle that is somewhat comfortable. Maybe I'll travel a little bit, maybe I'll see my kids a little bit, and then I'll be able to pay for my own funeral. And if I'm lucky, I'll have a little bit left over to pass down to my children as inheritance. And they call that delayed gratification. But what is that really? What is that really? What does that look like to a college student, and why is it a lie? And you're probably scratching your head like, why is it a lie? How is that not delayed gratification? Well, let me tell you this. If you're coming out of college, what are you looking to do? You're looking to get, quote unquote, the best job you can and make the most money you can. But that's interesting, because when you show up for day one at your new, brand new stinking job, at your brand new stinking company with stars in your eyes, and you show up, you have no experience, you have no skill set beyond a piece of paper that the university gave you, which university has no experience at the company, you know, in the field that the company is hiring you for. And that piece of paper just says, well, this guy has proven to us that he can learn stuff. And so we're going to give him our stamp of approval. And so go ahead and hire him because we believe he's capable of learning things. And so you get hired on with no experience. And 2 weeks later, after you put in 80 hours of work, you get a very sizable paycheck. In fact, a paycheck that's pretty darn close to the guy who's working that job who's been there for 20 years. Now, think about that. You instantly, I mean, literally, it doesn't get any more instant than that. You instantly, the moment you get hired, start getting paid very nearly the same as the guy who's been there for 20 years. If there is anything in this world that is instant gratification, that is it. Now let's talk about, let's use the example of an entrepreneur. Someone who comes out of college with the same piece of paper saying they know how to learn stuff. And instead of going for the instant paycheck, the instant piece of paper that says, okay, now you qualify for a house. You can go buy yourself a house. You can go buy yourself a car. You can go buy yourself all these things. You can go create all these liabilities for yourself that's only going to bind you further down to the corporate handcuffs, because then you'll become reliant upon that paycheck for the next 50 years. Or you can say, you know what? I'm going to put off the car. I'm going to put off the house. Heck, I'm going to put off the TV, and I'm going to put off cable. I'm going to put off movies. I'm going to put off a bi-weekly paycheck so that I can build something. And I'm going to take 3 to 4 years of eating ramen to build something that I'm passionate about. Because I believe that in 3 to 5 years, once I get through that learning curve and once I have established a foundation, then I will reap the rewards of my delayed gratification. And when those rewards start coming, let me tell you, it's not going to be a 2% raise every year. It grows exponentially when you lay the foundation right. And that's what I'm in the process of doing now at 34, which I wish I had done at 22. But I can't sit here and say, oh, well, if only I was 22, I can say, well, it's not going to be when I'm 35. It's going to be right now. That you got to make the choice. That's the difference between people who succeed and people who don't, is that they don't look back and they don't say, well, if only I had known these things when I was 20. They say, I know them now, and I'm going to act on them now so that I'm not sitting here when I'm 40 looking back and saying, I wish I had done it when I was 20. I wish I had done it when I was 25. I wish I had done it when I was 35. But when you exercise delayed gratification like that, not with the vision that someday you will have amassed enough income over your 2% cost of living adjustments for the next 40 years. When you see delayed gratification, is that I'm going to give up things that I want right now that the world is saying I can have instantly through financing and through a biweekly paycheck. I'm going to give up on those things right now so that I can have true wealth later on. Not only wealth financially, but wealth emotionally, in terms of fulfillment, in terms of my life's legacy. And there's a word that I want to touch on in a second. Legacy. If you're willing to delay the things of this world for a little while to build the foundation of something great, then before you know it, you'll be living the dream instead of dreaming the dream. And here I am, having worked in corporate America for coming up on 10 years, still dreaming the dream that I'm finally realizing has been within my reach this whole time. Wow. But I wasn't willing to delay my gratification long enough to say, I don't need the paycheck right now. I'd rather have the investment in my future so that I can reap the rewards in 3 years. And before we get too far on, I don't want to take your train of thought, but mention that word legacy. And I mentioned in there too that a lot of the misconception of society is that, you know, hopefully we've amassed enough income and wealth that when we die, we can pass a little bit of it on to our kids. Now, let me ask you, David, because you're kind of like me. If you say you get to heaven, let's just pretend here, sure, you go to the pearly gates and someone says, you know, what did you leave? What mark did you leave on the world? And you puff your chest out and you say, I left $500,000 to each of my kids. Okay. Well, that's what we call an inheritance. So you left your kids an inheritance. Next question, David, what legacy did you leave? Because to me, you can't measure a legacy in dollars and cents. What legacy did you leave in the world? And if you're struggling to figure out what you left in the world other than things that can be counted on a spreadsheet, then maybe the legacy is a little bit lacking. And that's what really drew me to this point, was looking at my life and looking at my cubicle and my little 3x5 picture of my sons sitting on my desk that wouldn't be there in the next few years because the corporate world is moving to a open floor design where everyone's mobile. They just have a laptop and they plop down at whatever desk is open. That's the way most companies are going. They're downgrading from cubicles, going to open floor concept, which is crazy. So you can't even have a picture on your desk anymore. But at the time, I'd look at my picture on my desk of my children. I'd say, you know what? When my kids grow up and are questioning in themselves the things that I'm trying to teach them of be all you can be, and they're seeking motivation, and they face discouragement and adversity, and they're seeking motivation, are they going to look at me and say, I'm motivated to work hard because I want to be better than what my dad had? Or are they going to look at me and say, I want to work hard because I want to be just like my dad? And I kind of had to sit back and do a self-inventory at that point and say, right now, given the life that I live and given the situation that I'm in, I would be embarrassed if my kids looked at me and wanted the exact same thing. And so I said, if I want to make a legacy, if I want to leave a legacy with my children, it's time for me to make a change.
Powerful. I've often thought that children are like light bulbs. Somehow they came into our lives, but they seem to illuminate us. I've experienced that too. That's neat. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, it's very, very few times am I able to say that I actually captured, that we were able to capture audibly something that goes beyond a clever video or a really cool audiobook, but something that actually is lasting. And the things you talked about, the principles, the thought that you provoke, the feelings that come, that accompany those thinking, it's lasting. And this is where legacies begin, through inspiration. So Terry, I want to thank you. Tell you what, will you do us a favor? Will you read your closing paragraph there? Will you read
that? Absolutely. So this is the closing paragraph of the article that I wrote on the blog. But this is, if there's anything that I wanted people to read in this article, it was this. It was this admonition at the end. Go start new businesses. Go back to school. Go chase a career or job as long as you know that's what you really want. Go learn a trade. Go explore the world. Go write books. Go sing and dance on Broadway. Go invent something new. Go be a missionary. Go make the world a better place. Go and don't be afraid to fail. Go and be willing to fail until you succeed. Heck, go join an MLM if you feel like it. But whatever you do, just do it with all your heart. And trust me, if you take the time beforehand to find something you are passionate about, you'll realize that doing it with all your heart really isn't all that hard.
Good content, man. Excellent. Terry, thank you. Always a pleasure, man. Appreciate you.
No, thank you.
So they can go to the-serial-hobbyist.com.
That's right. That's the name of the blog. I also have an Instagram at the_serial_hobbyist.com. The hyphens were taken on that one. So underscores for Instagram, hyphens for the website. And yeah, if you like what you see, subscribe. If you don't subscribe, that's cool too. It's, you know, I'm not doing this to try to take over the blogging universe. I'm doing this because I hope for one person to read it. And if that one person reads it, then my work here is done. So if you're that person, come on, come read it. If you got comments, bring them. If you don't like it and you don't like what you see, well, go find a different blog.
And also another thing, if you want Terry to build something for you, it's a great way to reach out to him, because he'll even appreciate the thought. I know his head will be thinking about things. Awesome. Well, we'll go ahead and cut it now. Thanks, Terry. Keep listening for more great content.